going to hand the meeting over to our brother Donald, and then he'll introduce Sasha. Pray for our brethren that the Lord will take them up and use them. And I'll go and sit down out of the road. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sam. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be back with you again. Thank you so much. I know that there's some of you here today and that you're praying for the work of Faith and Action Missions and that you support the work of Faith and Action Missions. So we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all your ongoing prayers and financial support. We're not long back from Ukraine. We had a wonderful trip to Ukraine. We were putting a new church building up out there, right out on the Ukrainian-Russian border. And just a few weeks ago, we had the opening of the church, and we had a tremendous day. It's right out in the sticks. There's lots of thousands of little villages out there, and it's right out in amongst all those little villages. And we had the opening service there just a few weeks ago. 3.5 hours it lasted. So we had a wonderful time opening the church, praising God, and just thanking Him for everything that He has done. Not only that, but we're not long back from Belarus. And in Belarus, we're still working with the sick people. We work with the sick. We work with the elderly. Many people that we find, that the Lord shows us where they are, out in the villages, living in little houses or up in high-rise flats where there's no elevators for the sick to get out into the fresh air. And in many occasions, we find over there that when one of the partners becomes sick, the other partner walks out on them and they're left on their own. So we're finding many people who are lonely, elderly and very, very sick. And the biggest problem that they have is they've never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know about His salvation. So we've had the privilege this year of having 10 new doors opened into the sick. We came across one man who had been in a car accident and both legs had been amputated. And we started to work with his family. And very, very quickly, we went back again to visit this family. We tried to strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. And it was at Christmas we were back in with them. And his wife, who he depends on for everything, was running about making the tea and the coffee and so on. And we came home again and I got the call that this lady had just dropped dead. Heart stopped beating and she went out into a lost eternity. Sergei, the man whose legs have been amputated, is absolutely devastated today. But brothers and sisters, it just reminds us about how fragile life really is. One minute you can be up there busying yourself, doing different things, and then when it's time to go, the heart stops and that's the end of it. And this poor lady, as far as we're aware, she just didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and devastated her husband is. So please pray for us that as we continue to support that man, work with him, that God will give us a wisdom in how to deal with this family. Another family that we met 8 years ago, the first time we met them, the father said, "There is no God. If there's a God, why is my only daughter lying dying like this?" And sometimes, brothers and sisters, words are just not enough. Sometimes the less you say, the better it is. But we told ourselves that we were going to win this family for the Lord. We were going to show them that there was a God, and a God who loved them so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for them. And today, that house enjoys household salvation. Through the work, through the love, through the compassion, through the commitment of the Faith and Action Missions team and through the church that we work with there, going along to these families, they have won them for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to pray for the continued work among the sick over there in Belarus. And for the past 12 years, for the past 10 years, we've been praying. With me being in the RUC, I always had an interest in the local prisons. Anytime I saw a prison, I prayed, "Lord, open the door for the gospel." And for 10 years we have been showing a great interest in getting into this prison with the gospel. It's an underground prison, very unusual. And we prayed for many years. And then just at Christmas there, we were over. And this lady says to me, "Donald, do you believe that God could help the people within that place?" And I couldn't believe the question that she was asking me. I gave her my testimony. I gave her the testimonies of the many prisoners that we know in Ukraine that we work with, 12 prisons or so through our brother Viktor Dudka. We have the privilege of going into all these prisons. We're seeing many, many souls coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So for this woman in Belarus to say to me, do you believe that God can do anything? We say, you get the door open, let the gospel be preached, and you will see men and women being touched by the power of God and changed, and they'll never be the same again. But you know, there was a wee part of us that really didn't believe that this door would ever be opened, because it was so difficult to get this door open. But you know something, God taught me another lesson. Nothing is too difficult for Him, no matter where it is, no matter what it is. And the local Baptist church had been turned away, the local Pentecostal church had been turned away, but the opportunity came up for myself and a good friend of mine to go along to meet the governor of the prison. And during that visit, he asked why we were there. We told him why we were there. Sometimes you have to be careful in Belarus. The preaching of the gospel is forbidden by visitors. We are not allowed to preach the gospel. But God gave us boldness that day. And we took the opportunity to tell these people why we were there and what God could do within this place. So He has asked us to come back. Praise the Lord. That's a miracle, brothers and sisters, within that establishment. At the moment, we're looking for 1,500 copies of the Word of God. We want to get the Word of God into the hands of every male and female prisoner within that place, and into the hands of every member of staff. It may be the only opportunity in this life that these people have to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. At the moment, we've bought 500 from the Trinitarian Bible Society. We're waiting for another 1,000 to be provided by the Lord. So pray for that, brothers and sisters, that the Lord will provide everything that's needed for that wonderful work that's going to be taking place within that prison in the town of Jordana out there in Belarus. This morning we have Sasha with us. We have another Sasha with us, that he's in one of the other churches. He's a pastor of a thriving Baptist church out there in Ukraine, and wonderful things are happening through his ministry as he reaches out to the homeless. God showed him the homeless just about a couple of years ago. People were freezing to death on the streets during the winter, and now the church move out in the winter with hot soup and hot tea to help the homeless, to preach the gospel to them, to go in among the drug addicts, the alcoholics, and many, many other ministries that this church are performing. Sasha here, you know Sasha. Sasha's been here a couple of times in the past. He's the headmaster of the Beginning of Wisdom Christian School in Kharkov in Ukraine. This is the only Christian school in a city of about 1.75 million people. So pray for this school, brothers and sisters, because at times it does go through challenges and different periods of slight, not harsh persecution, but from the government, because the government don't want a Christian school. But through that Christian school, great things are happening. And I'm going to let Sasha tell you about them just for the first 5 minutes before he opens the Word of God. We have some newsletters about the latest things that have been happening, and we'll have them at the door for you to collect on the way out. So I'm going to invite Sasha now.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a privilege for me to be here again. And I am very grateful to you for all kinds of support that my ministry, my family, my church, my Christian school have by your help. We are very grateful to you for your prayer support and for all kinds of financial support. And I would say that this support is very beneficial, not in sense that we continue our ministry, but in a sense that precious souls of people can be saved. You know, in my school at the moment we have 134 students, and half of them are students from non-Christian families, which agree to send their children to school so that they could be brought up in a Christian atmosphere with Christian values and worldview, and probably a school would be the only place where those kids can listen the gospel. So some students from non-Christian families and their parents came to faith after they became our students. So praise the Lord and thank you very much for your support and your attention and your encouragement. State schools. Our school does not want to be like a sect among state schools, but we try to be an influential school, sharing the gospel with principals, teachers, and even students of state schools. And through this work, some of the principals and even workers of educational department came to faith and became church members. So, praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today I want you to open God's Word with me. And I want you to open the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll read verses from 27 till 38. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses from 27 till 38. It's a well-known passage from the scripture, and I want you to be encouraged by this text this morning. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It's very significant to me to preach this morning in this church because your church has a special name. I never met in any places the church with this name as your church has. Martyrs Memorial. It means that we don't only believe that Christ was crucified. But we also believe that his followers, his disciples, must pay their price or their cost of discipleship. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes, it requires them to give of their life. And this is why I've chosen for the sermon this text from the scripture. In our faith statement of my church and in your church, we have a teaching that Christ is the Son of God. We believe deity of Christ. We believe virgin birth of Christ. But today I'm asking myself, and I want to ask you, how this teaching practically affects your everyday life? How it helps you to live a victoriously life every day? Sometimes I hear like some Christian say, we are to become Christ-alike persons. And it is so. All of us have to become like Christ in his love, in his wisdom, in his compassion. But how far do we want to go trying to be Christ-alike persons? Are we ready to be like Christ when he was humiliated, when he was rejected by men, when he was denied by religious leaders, when he suffered pain, when he felt dead agony? One Christian author said in his book, the problem of the modern church is that there are no martyrs anymore in church, but only well-known and famous persons. We know that the Reformation in Europe was started from the 95 theses of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther made a great contribution into teaching of justification by faith. But it's interesting to see that the last of his resolutions or of his 95 theses say about taking cross, not only about being justified by cross. He says, Christians should be exhorted to be zealous to follow Christ, their head, through penalties, death and hell. And let them thus be more confident of entering heaven through many tribulations, rather than through a false assurance of peace. This is why, brothers and sisters, this conversation which happened between Christ and his disciples is very important for us today. The Gospel of Mark was written to prove and to show that Christ is the Son of God. In the very first chapter, the very first verse says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But when the reader reads this gospel, knowing that Christ is the Son of God, he sees many people who are not aware of this. He sees that even relatives, mother and brothers of Jesus, they did not believe that Christ was the Son of God. He sees that religious leaders did not believe that Christ is the Son of God. Even disciples were not sure that Christ was the Son of God. Ironically, demons only confirmed when they were cast out of people by Christ that they know who Christ is indeed. And this is why Jesus asks his disciple, whom do men say that I am? And they began to answer, but they give wrong answers. For example, they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. Wrong answers. The only right answer was given by whom? By Peter. One of the 12 gave right, proper answer. He said, thou art the Christ, which meant thou art the Messiah, thou art the King, thou art the Savior. If some of the people today would say so, we would say him, good boy, good girl, good man, you are going right way. But that's something strange we see here. After such a statement of Peter, Jesus charged them that they should tell no man of him. Why? We see after two very important lessons which this text gives to us. The first lesson, we can call him who Christ is. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. The answer of the Peter when Christ asked his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? The answer of Peter was right. But Peter, saying that Jesus is the promised Messiah, thought that Jesus would come and would install his kingdom like a political kingdom on the place where they lived. Israelites, Hebrews of that time, they were under Roman dominion and they suffered much because of this. And all of them were awaiting of times when salvation, redemption, God's kingdom would come and make them free. And Peter, altogether with other apostles, other disciples, he waited that Christ would come, would install his kingdom, and they, disciples, apostles, will be like ministers, prime ministers in that kingdom. They will reign altogether with Christ. They will be in honor. They will be respected. They will relax themselves. And Jesus destroys their image, their imagination about what should to come. And he says the Messiah is not just triumphant king, but first of all, suffering one. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Brothers and sisters, we are to have a proper understanding of Jesus, his nature, his call. He is suffering king. His way to life went through sufferings and death. This is the first lesson. But there is a second one. And this is second lesson is very important because it shows what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus. After Jesus explained what does it mean to be a Christ, Peter, his disciple, took him and began to rebuke him. Peter asked of the Lord not to suffer, to escape, to avoid sufferings. Peter was clever man. He realized that the destiny of the teacher must be the same as the destiny of his follower. And if Jesus has to suffer up to death, it means that I, as a disciple of him, as a follower of him, also must suffer up to death. And Peter did not want to suffer at all. And not only him, I and we, to be honest, we don't want to suffer for Christ. We enjoy his salvation. We enjoy his forgiveness. We enjoy his redemption. We enjoy his kingdom. But to suffer, but the answer which Peter heard from Jesus. This answer was very sharp. Jesus told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou," how to read this word? Savorest. Which means you enjoy more things that be of God you enjoy less things that be of God than things that be of man. Peter sought for easy religion. Men of nowadays seek for easy religion, cheap grace. But Jesus says that easy way is not right way. Easy religion is not proper religion. Cheap grace is not grace indeed. Half century ago, in Germany, there was a man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a man of faith who took a great stand against the system which was under ruling of Adolf Hitler. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, being a theologian and a pastor, wrote a book. By the way, the first time I took this book in my hand was Great Britain, because firstly I read it being printed here. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his book, Cost of the Discipleship, he says, cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without acquiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. The call of Jesus is not a call for the cheap grace. He calls us for a costly grace. But to get this costly grace, he calls us to come and to die. This grace is costly because it demands from us to give all we have. But it's grace because it gives life indeed. This is why Jesus says to his followers, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. To take up the cross does not mean to go through different problems and different difficulties of the life. Every people suffer from problems, not only Christians. But to take cross means to suffer, to go through different problems because of your faithfulness to Christ. And it not was only call of Jesus to the disciples of that time. It's also his call for us today. How can we take our cross and follow him? Many opportunities. If you go to school, study year has started already. If you go to school, you will meet there many things. For example, so-called theory of evolution. And probably all the teachers and all the class will believe that theory. And that theory says that there are no God, that world, our world, appears without creation, by itself, occasionally. And if you are a Christian, if you are disciple of Christ, that's cool. You are to take your stand and to say that I don't believe that. I believe that God created the earth, the heavens, the universe, because the Bible tells so. And probably it will cost you a price. And probably your marks will not increase, but will decrease instead. Probably you will be not the most honored person in your class, either by teacher or by students. But if you want to follow Christ, there are no other ways. You have to deny yourself, and you have to take your cross and to follow Him. Several years ago, I read in the news about one lady who worked in London airport, if I'm not mistaken, in Heathrow airport. She was dismissed from her job because she refused to take off her necklace with cross. Probably you heard about this also. She is a Christian, and for her it was like to betray her Savior. But in the same time, it's okay in the same airport to put on hijab, which is Muslim's head covering, and nobody says anything against this. If you are Christian, if you will share your faith with others, you will be in danger to suffer for the sake of Christ. But it's normal. It's okay. It's a proper way. The problem you are to be worried of, if you have no sufferings, if you have no troubles because of your faith, it's a problem. So, Jesus says that whoever will come after me, let him take his cross and follows me. And the last. Jesus wants us to know that we are but weak persons. We are fearful, we are weak, we are like Peter, who did not want to take his cross and follow his teacher. All of us are such a people. But Jesus wants us to know that there is grace, and His grace can strengthen us to be able to deny ourselves, to take our cross, and to follow Him. And His grace helps us to see a reward which will come after our devotion to suffering teacher. Jesus says, whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Positively, it means that our reward for the faithful devotion to Jesus, our reward will be bigger, greater than the whole world. The most prosperous people of nowadays cannot imagine even that they can obtain even the half of the world. But Jesus promises us that we will have a reward more, greater, bigger than the whole world. If we keep our stand, if we deny ourselves, if we take our cross, and if we follow Him. This is why, brothers and sisters, I want you today not only to be goers of the church, not only to be by name Christians, but to be indeed disciples of the suffering Messiah, to be devoted to Him to the ultimate measure, no matter how much will it cost to you to be faithful to Him. And God richly bless all of you to be disciples which deny yourself, take your cross, and follow Him. Amen.
Thank you, Sasha. Sasha comes from a country, brothers and sisters, where the brothers and sisters there have already taken their cross and followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, millions of Christians died during those terrible communistic times. His own father-in-law, Pastor Vladimir, was sentenced to a death camp and went through horrible, horrible trials day and daily for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other pastor who's in the other church this morning was in prison for his faith, for just making Bibles, distributing Bibles amongst the persecuted church. And God willing, in February, he'll be coming here to speak about the persecution then. And also a brother from Tatarstan. Tatarstan is a republic deep, deep, deep in Russia. He's a converted Muslim who was thrown out of the country for preaching the gospel. He will also be coming to tell of the terrible things that are happening within that very secretive country. So pray, brothers and sisters, that everything works out fine and that it's God's will that they'll be here, and maybe we'll even have them along here for you to listen to.